All right, so part eight, apologetics as defense, the problem of evil, part two, a biblical response is where we're at. He said that in the previous chapter, we examined several solutions that various philosophers and theologians have put towards to solve the problem of evil, and we found them to be unbiblical or at least inadequate. Right? Doesn't offer a full explanation of both moral evil and natural evil, but in these two chapters, he has wanted really to focus on the moral evil aspect. It's the one I think many people go to when they think the problem of evil is the moral capacity of man to be bad to man. The hurricanes and the tornadoes can come in later, but we want to talk about war and serial killers and all those other nasty things that we think of when we think of morality.
Yeah, and I think he does a good job with the hurricanes, the tornadoes, and all that, the natural portion of evil, because he says basically that that's a result of the moral evil, right? God has cursed now the earth, and therefore all of these things have come in. And so that's his explanation for these various natural phenomena and all the, you know, the consequences of the curse with regard to natural evil. And so that, to me, I think he kind of deals with that. And so now he's left with, okay, now how do we, you know, what about the other side of it, right? The right. moral evil, right? And right. so that's what he's trying to focus on here. And I think what we'll see as we get into this chapter, that this is more aimed toward believers than the unbelief, right? I think right. he's trying to help give us comfort and confidence and faith that God knows exactly what he's doing. And so the focus here, I think, is on believers and not necessarily the unbelievers' issue with how God is doing things.
Right. Which, you know, definitely needs to happen. But he also did title this Apologetics as Defense. And it's a defense that he's giving believers, or he's saying, like, this is the part of apologetics where you know, you pick up your sword and you're ready to do battle on the battlefield of argumentation with unbelievers. And so there's got to be a little bit of oomph on the thrust for unbelievers as well. But
we'll see how he does.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. I've always admitted that many a times there are times where I read a chapter and I'm like, this is the worst chapter ever. And I have a discussion with you and I'm like, this is the most amazing chapter. To do it any other way, to do it any other way is wrong and sinful. And it's like, okay. So. Well, okay. But in this chapter, we will see what the Bible says about the problem of evil. And he says that he proposes that scripture presents us with this kind of triangle perspective, this three ways of faithfully looking at evil. And if you know Frame of any other capacity, three is always going to be his magic number. So Patrick, the editor, put up a image of this, but it's a triangle and it says normative defense, God sets the standard. Then the existential defense, he gives us a new heart. And a situational defense is that there is a greater good. And so he's going to say, let's look into detail these tripartite perspectives on his evaluation of the theodicy.
Right. Good. All right. So this first major section then, and then he spends most of his time, by the way, in this particular area, he wants us to understand that God is the standard for his own actions. God is the standard. Right. And so right away, he snatches away from us man as being, you know, able to question what's going on, at least legitimately question, because God is the standard. So he says, scripture never assumes that God owes us an explanation for what he does. In a number of biblical passages, the problem of evil arises for the reader, but the text itself never comments on them, right? For example, he says, we often wish that God had, you know, told us much more in Genesis 3, the story of the entrance of evil into the world. Where did the serpent, Satan, come from? You know, if he was originally good along with the rest of the creation or not, right? And how did he become evil if he became evil, right? None of those questions are answered is what Frame is telling us here. And so, you know, the text itself, he says here, never really comments on these things of God. Again, God is going to be the standard for his particular actions.
Right. Right. If he did give us more on Genesis, we'd probably have even more Christian fiction about the Nephilim and everything like that. Right. So.
And probably more questions, too.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Just, you know, that's the Columbo method for Christians. God, just one more chapter, please.